The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. One shining moment is all on the line. One shining moment.
Welcome back, college basketball fans, to another episode of CBB 365. I'm Adam Hipsky, joined by Patrick Dallahan, and today we'll sit down with former Providence College point guard and current Georgia assistant coach John Linehan. And then we will discuss the NCAA dropping the hammer on Oklahoma State and the NBA's new plan for the lottery in the NBA draft.
Okay, so now we are joined by our first coach ever on the show, former Providence guard, Coach John Linehan, a.k.a. Levirus. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm quite honored to be the very first college coach on your show, so it means a lot.
You began your high school career at Chester, just outside of Philly. You've gone back and forth between New England and Philadelphia during your college and coaching days. How does the basketball coach of Philadelphia compare to some other cities you played or coached in?
Well, great question, but the Philadelphia basketball is you know, very rich in tradition. You know, we have some of the most challenging, tough, neighborhoods in the country. You know, so you get a lot of tough kids come out of that area, but the teams traditionally. The Temples, the St. Joe's, the Villanovas, LaSalle's and Drexel's. I mean, that right there, I mean, you have six schools within, 10 miles, not even 10 miles of each other. And, just the basketball is rich. I forget about Penn. And,
Penn is
very tough. Yeah, the Palestra's, these days. So it's a lot of history in Philadelphia. You know, compared with, other cities and that I've been too and coach that. I mean, Philadelphia just has its own different flair. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that Philly tough, the Rocky mentality, but I've been up to Boston and Providence. I mean, the basketball up there is amazing. Now I'm down here in Georgia, which is like a new hub of basketball.
Yeah.
A lot of great players are coming out of Georgia now. So I mean, basketball has definitely evolved and become a global sensation. But it's nothing like Philadelphia basketball.
Damn straight. When you were at Chester, speaking of the Palestra, you played against Kobe Bryant and Lower Marion there in the semifinals. What was it like playing against Bean in high school?
Oh man, Bean was out of this world. He was just different. And we knew he was different. Way back then, he just approached the game in a different way. His talent. Spoke for itself in terms of his athleticism, his overall IQ for the game, the way he studied the game, different things that he did on the floor was just amazing. Playing against him was, you knew that you were in the presence of greatness, at an early age. And he was a friend of mine and so sorry that he's gone, but what a heck of a player, great talent, and a great person.
Your career at Providence, you were a pretty good defensive player, NCAA all-time steals leader. Not that big of a deal. What was the importance of defense in the Big East, and what made you so good at it?
I think growing up in Chester, it's a pretty tough town.
Yeah.
And, basketball, for a lot of us, was a means to an end. It was a way for us to get out of the city and kind of make a better life for ourselves, So that mentality alone, we had a different perspective of basketball. We played basketball a lot harder than a lot of other people did, one of the things that we took pride in was defense, we never wanted to, let a team come in and be able to do whatever they wanted against us, Defense was our staple. And so from an early age, I had two high school coaches, Alonzo Lewis and Fred Pickett. Both of them aren't with us anymore, but they instilled that work ethic, the importance of defense in us early. So getting the opportunity to go up to Providence and in the Big East, the Big East at the time was a step below the NBA.
Yep.
And
My opinion, it still is.
I don't know about that. You know, it was a step below the NBA, and it was physical, and mm-hmm. you know, for me, it was right up my alley. You know, yeah. I wanted to come in and make an impact. You know, I wasn't the biggest guy. I wasn't the strongest guy. I definitely wasn't I wasn't scoring 30 and 40 points on somebody. Yeah. You know, so the way for me to make an impact was on the defensive side of the floor.
When you look back at the Big East when you were playing, how is it different now?
Well, I think, you know, and I love the Big East. You know, I'm still a huge Providence guy. You know, I really support the team and you know, what Coach Cooley has done up there at Providence mm-hmm. is phenomenal. You know, what Jay Wright is doing at Villanova is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we have Seton Hall. I mean, we still have some really good teams in the Big East. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the old Big East, you know, with the Syracuse, you know, UConn, mm-hmm. you know, when I played, Miami was in it. You know,
BC,
you know, Notre Dame. It kind of lost, for me, it lost the rivalries. You know, BC, like you said, you know, that was our rival. I remember going up against Troy Bell. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was a packed house in Boston, and it was a packed house in our PC. But you know, just kind of losing the rivalries, you know, kind of hurt the Big East.
Moving into your coaching career, were you interested in coaching all along? Is that something you had your eye on, or how did you get into coaching?
Well, coaching or working with young people was always a passion of mine. You know, when I was at PC, I worked at the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, I was working camps a lot, you know, so that was always a passion of mine, you know, from an early age. Then, you know, after I played, you know, was finished my professional career, it was just a natural transition to get into coaching, you know. So I had the opportunity to work with Fran Dunphy down at Temple as a grad assistant. That was my first opportunity, first foot in the door. Then I was in operations at Drexel with Bruiser Flint. Then I went up to Brown University back up to Providence with Mike Martin as my first assistant spot. Mm-hmm. Then down at UHart for 2 years with Coach John Gallagher. And then I'm going into my second year now at the University of Georgia. I mean, it's a great opportunity to be able to stay in the game of basketball. I love basketball, and you know, it's just a part of me.
You rose up the ranks really quickly all the way up to Georgia already. What skills of yours can you attribute to your jump going from, you know, Drexel to Georgia in just 5 seasons?
Well, I would say the biggest thing is to have a good work ethic, you know, to humble yourself, you know, because anytime you're going from a starting point or even trying to get your foot in the door, you know, you have to start from the bottom, you know. And I wasn't mm-hmm. opposed to being a grad assistant, to sweeping floors, to you know, to whatever it was needed of me to help the team. And I think if you come, especially after playing a professional basketball or having a professional basketball career, if you can kind of humble yourself and work hard to start from the bottom and move your way up, you know, that's a skill that's kind of lost these days, you know. But you know, that's something that's definitely helped me, and obviously my experience in playing.
Looking back on last season, you guys actually played a game in the SEC tournament. What was that like, and what was the main difference that you noticed?
Well, we had fans. It was the day before they were going to stop or play with no fans. So we had the fans, but, I mean, our guys, you know, obviously they were disappointed because they didn't get a chance to get out and play that next game after we beat Ole Miss in the first round. I think they wouldn't have minded playing with no fans. You know, they just wanted to get out there and you know, show that we still had a lot to prove and to you know, to finish out the year in a successful manner.
You had a front row seat all season to see Anthony Edwards play last season. What does he bring to the table, and how could that make him successful at the next level?
What does he bring to the table for an NBA franchise?
Or what does he bring just in general?
Well, Anthony, and I've been around a lot of people. You know, like I've played with Kobe Bryant. I've you know, played with Rip Hamilton. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been around a lot of guys, you know, throughout my career. And Anthony ranks right up above right up amongst those guys in terms of his approach to the game, his work ethic, you know, his God-given ability. He's a guy, I mean, we have a practice, 2.5 hour practice, 3 hour practice, and he'd come back 11 o'clock, 10:30 at night, every night, and shoot for an hour and a half, you know. So, I mean, he's a guy that loves the work, loves to be in the gym. if you've watched this play, he's mm-hmm. one of our best defender, if not the best defender on our team. So you're talking about a guy who is probably going to be a top three pick before coming into college, and he's our best defender on the floor. You know what I mean? That right, that yeah. alone says a lot about him.
And so, you've been in the game of basketball for many years. Is there a guy that's really comparable to Anthony?
It's hard. I've been asked that question a lot, and I can't come, you know, can't think of one. I mean, just a guy, like I said, who plays both sides of the floor, who when he wants to, he can be the most dominant player, you know, on the floor, you know, which most times he is. He's a guy that can, once he gets really motivated, it's just like, watch out, you know, just like he did against Michigan State and scored 30-something points in the second half and just absolutely carried us. He has that type of ability. So I'm not sure if I've ever been around someone like that before.
Who is a guy that you expect to step up and fill that gap Anthony Edwards is leaving by leaving Athens?
Well, it's going to be, it's going to be hard to replace Anthony. I don't think you can, you know, yeah. so it's going to be more yeah. of a, you know, do it by committee type of thing, you know. So we got, Justin Carr coming in from George Mason, got Andrew Garcia coming in from Stony Brook. You know, we have a great core of young guys that have a lot of experience under their belt from last year. You know, so it's not that we're bringing in someone or we're expecting someone to take over those shoes. It's going to be more of a team effort to get the job done.
And if anybody was going to fill it, it would actually be Rayshon Hammonds. And moving on to our next question, he's gone now too. So what does that do for the Bulldogs coming into next year?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping that Ray would come back. But, you know, it's anytime you're right at the brink of realizing your NBA dream, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to stop somebody from taking the jump. So, you know, we're definitely, you know, all behind him. It definitely hurts us, you know, losing a guy like him. You know, so, you know, we lost with losing Anthony and Ray and our other seniors, we lost a lot of points. You know, a lot of rebounds, a lot of 3-point percentages, things like that. So, like I said before, it's going to be a team effort to replace those guys. And, mm-hmm. It should be fun because we got a lot of hungry wolves mm-hmm. you know, as freshmen going into their sophomore season. So they got to step up and show and prove.
And then, obviously, there's so much uncertainty right now with next season. How are you guys preparing for a season that might look different and, obviously, all the safety precautions that you guys might have to go through next season? How are you guys preparing for that?
Great question. I mean, it's so much unknown, right, to the season. You know, it's a lot. Things are happening in real time, you know, so, you know, adjustments are being made daily. You know, we just have to try to do as best we can with the rules that we have in place to ensure that we're taking the right steps to have a good start to the season, you know, start on time if we can, and, you know, do things the right way. But, you know, to prepare for it is just, you know, we just have to follow the rules. You know, our guys in Georgia, they were able to get back in the gym, not on campus, but in other, you know, in their cities, you know, that the gym's open. So they're doing their part in terms of working out on their own and staying fit. You know, our athletic trainer, Sean Hayes, he's doing a good job of you know, making sure they work out and maybe sending drills and maybe, you know, supervising them in that way, you know, in terms of so they can stay in good shape. But, you know, we're doing all we can. But like I said, this is the unknown. And, you know, we just have to, you know, kind of go at it as they say.
So your nickname's Le Virus. How did you get that? Like, where did that come from?
Le Virus. So, well, when I was I played in France for 9 years. And, you know, that became my nickname because obviously my you know, defensive prowess over there. And you know, I won, you know, the defensive player of the year a bunch of times. And a coach from an opposing team said, he's like a virus. You know, so when that name, it hit, and that became my name for years. And still to this day, you know, people call me that.
Has anybody gotten you confused with coronavirus because of that nickname?
Yeah, people always, like, especially in France, they send me, you know, different statements about how the coronavirus doesn't have a chance against the virus. The virus.
All right, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, I really appreciate it, man. Keep it up. Take that UConn hat off and get a Georgia, either a Georgia Bulldog hat or a Providence hat.
Not Providence. I'll think about Georgia.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck.
All right, thank you, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
This week, there's been a lot of news, not only in the college basketball community, but just the basketball community as a whole. And we're going to get right into it. Oklahoma State hit with a one-year postseason ban for a level one recruiting violation. Adam, I want to hear your take on all of this. Like, what do you think is happening right now?
Well, from an Oklahoma State standpoint, they lose 3 scholarships per year for the next 3 years. Obviously, they're still appealing the decision. Going from a basketball standpoint, next season, they brought in the number one guy in the recruiting class, and that's Cade Cunningham. You know, obviously, depending on the site, but I think he's unanimously a top guy. I mean, mostly a top one, top two guy. But right now, we don't know if we'll see him in Stillwater next year because of this postseason ban. Because, you know, I mean, he'll only be there 1 year, and then he's off to the NBA. So, really, is it worth staying at a school for 1 year, you know, if he can't play in March Madness at the end of the season? So, there's a lot of talk right now on where he's going to go. He has the support of his head coach to go explore other options, obviously. But, you know, Oklahoma State could still appeal the decision, maybe win the deal, get rid of their postseason ban, and then Cade Cunningham comes and plays, you know, next season in Stillwater. But then I would say the big thing with all this going on is we talked about it a couple weeks ago with the Louisville thing. The guy that committed all of it isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Lamont Evans isn't even at the school anymore.
He's not even allowed to coach in the NCAA for another 10 years.
Yeah, he can't go to any school in the NCAA for the next 10 years. So, you know, it kind of hurts, same way it's going to hurt Louisville, is by they're going to get punished, but, you know, they're going to get punished, but is it really fair to the guys that just came in and just got hired? But at the same time, we talked about this with Mike Rutherford, the NCAA isn't going to want to set an example of you can cheat, you can fire the guy, and then, you know, nothing happens. You know, they're going to definitely give a punishment. As you see, they did give a pretty hefty punishment to Oklahoma.
Yeah, they did. I think they went a little overboard, though.
They might have.
Because, like Kentucky's getting investigated right now, and they have, like, a lot of violations, and they haven't gotten hit with anything. And Oklahoma State, who is not really that big of a program, committed one violation a few years ago, right? Not last season, but the season before that. I just don't think it's fair to them at all.
I just don't know really what's going to happen, because obviously there's rumors about Cade going to the G League, and there's rumors about him, you know, his final five schools – were North Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Washington, and then obviously Oklahoma State, where he ended up attending, or says he'll attend. But UNC brings in a top five class, and
so does Kentucky.
And they both, UNC and Kentucky, bring in 6 commits next year. Kentucky's got their point guard, Devin Askew. He'll probably be the starter next year, obviously, because he is – you know, 5-star, but North Carolina also has their point guard, you know, ranked in the top 15 in the nation, Caleb Love. They have their point guard as well. So how is Cade Cunningham going to look at those two schools and just be interested, because he probably won't be – Caleb Love has been committed there. He's signed. Mm-hmm. You know, Devin Askew's committed. He's signed. I don't know exactly how hard North Carolina and Kentucky are going to pursue him. Obviously, Cade Cunningham's such a talent that, you know, it's going
to
be hard.
Yeah, they'll be willing to give it up. I would keep an eye on Washington, who could make a strong push. I think that they could use the incoming stars to the Pac-12 to their advantage for recruiting. Like this year, the Pac-12 is going to get a lot of exposure with Josh Christopher, Evan Mobley, Zaire Williams. But I do think that also these college programs need to get on him now before the G League gets a chance to offer him a contract. And same with the NBL in Australia.
And you're talking about Washington maybe being a sleeper in here. They didn't recruit a point guard. They didn't. They don't have a single commit in the 2020 class. They got two transfers, Cole Bejma from Michigan and another guy from Wichita State. But they don't. They didn't recruit a point guard. So maybe that would be a school that would definitely pursue him harder. You know, they landed in his top five, so it's not like Cade didn't have interest in him at one point. It's just a matter of will he be willing to, you know, go back and look at them again. But Oklahoma State, obviously, my prediction is he will go to the G League just because you see a lot of recruits heading that pathway now. But obviously, I hope he goes to Florida or Washington just because I think Washington would be adding on to the already superb talent going on down there, like you said, with conference champion. And Washington would go right in. Obviously, they're losing Isaiah Stewart and losing Daniels. They would be kind of an interesting team in there. I think they would be able to compete with, you know, Arizona State, you know, UCLA, USC. But if he does go to Washington, that just brings up a lot of options in the Pac-12 on who can win that conference, because a lot of the teams are going to be young and the most experienced team is going to be UCLA that doesn't have a big time recruit coming in, but they do have experience and they've got Chris Smith and Jalen Hill coming back. But Washington, like let's say Cade goes to Washington, they're going to be inexperienced. You're going to look at USC, Evan Mobley, they're going to be inexperienced. Stanford, you know, Stanford, maybe they return Tyrell Terry. If they do, I would put Stanford at my number one spot. But if Terry heads off to the NBA, they're going to be inexperienced. The Pac-12 could be really interesting. From the SEC, Florida, lose Andrew Nembhard. He entered the draft. He tested the waters, but then he announced he's going to transfer. So maybe, I mean, that opens up a point guard spot. Nembhard was their starting point guard, and Cade would definitely come in.
And then you'd have him and Scotty Lewis on the same team.
Yeah, he would start right away. I mean, so I would say Florida and Washington are definitely the two places I'd want to see him go. UNC Kentucky, that just wouldn't interest me at all.
I mean, that Kentucky team would be, if he wouldn't, because they still have a scholarship open from Chusang leaving.
They return Keon Brooks at the shooting guard spot and throw Cade Cunningham in. And then you've got, obviously, the six freshmen coming in, two five-stars, one, two really high four-stars. You know, B.J. Boston may even come off the bench behind Keon Brooks. Maybe you slide Keon Brooks down to the small four. Kentucky will be really good next year, even if they don't have Cade Cunningham, but if they do add Cade Cunningham, then Kentucky would definitely probably slide to a lot of people preseason number one
spot. Yeah.
That's where I go from this Oklahoma State and what's going to happen with Cade Cunningham.
Basketball is back. The NBA approved a plan.
Love to see it.
Oh, my God. I am – it's awesome. They'll start play.
I can't wait.
They'll start play on July 31st. There's going to be 13 Western Conference teams, 9 Eastern Conference teams. They have an 8-game regular season. I'm not really sure how I feel about this. I do think that the NBA just wants Zion to play in the playoffs, like, really bad.
Well, it's such a weird format. I mean, the East is probably already set because you got to get within 4 games, I believe, put in this play-in tournament. And the Wizards are pretty much it's going to be tough for them to get into the play-in tournament. But throwing the 13 Western Conference teams in, that was just weird to me.
Yeah.
But from the point where a lot of people are saying Zion, they want Zion in the playoffs. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do, too. I think Pelicans can be a dangerous team when they're healthy. But I don't know. It's just such a weird format, you know.
Yeah.
The play-in tournament to – you got to get 4 games back to be in a play-in tournament to then play in the playoffs. It'll be strange to me, but, you know, basketball is basketball. Obviously, we wish we could have more madness. We could wish we have end of college basketball season. But it'll come back. And what I take away from a college basketball standpoint with all of this is that – now we have some dates set in stone on when We get to see some college basketball. We have our, I believe the deadline is August 3rd. Yeah, Patrick, if you can.
Yeah, August 3rd.
August 3rd is when players that are testing the waters have to decide whether or not they're going to return to school or keep their name in the draft. So after August 3rd, we're going to have – and I don't know really if players are going to keep their name in or announce that they're going to hire an agent or if they're going to keep testing the waters until then, just due to the fact that that's a long time from now. I mean, we're recording right now in early June, and so we've still got 2 months until players really have to decide. But, you know, who knows if players are going to be patient and if they're going to want to hire an agent right away. I would say that it'll probably be more until late July when we finally start to be able to iron out who's returning to school and who's staying in the draft. And then after that, you know, it's going to be all up for CBB 365 because we get the breakdown. We can talk about, you know, what we're looking ahead to next season, as well as the draft, because the draft is going to be coming up like in a month or a month and a half after that. We'll have the end of the NBA season. But then, you know, obviously we're in a downtime for news right now. But hopefully as we roll into July, we start to really be able to clear up the picture on college basketball next season.
One guy that I really hope doesn't go to the draft, like signs with an agent, is Sadiq Bey.
I don't know. There's a lot of guys that are really – I would say Sadiq Bey. I'm leaning
Kofi Cockburn.
I think Sadiq Bey will be gone. I think Kofi returns to school. I hope Kofi returns to school. I hope Sadiq Bey returns to school. I hope everyone comes back to make a more interesting college basketball. I think that what I was saying earlier was I think that some players I think are going to fare towards heading back to school. We talked about with Jay Billis on whether or not players are going to feel more inclined to return to school ahead of the draft, obviously with these strange times. And I think it's going to fare more towards going back to school just due to the fact that they're not going to get, I would say, more of an accurate grade since you don't have your pre-draft workouts, you know, on your combine. But then you also got to look at it from the NBA standpoint is players don't know if we're going to have a college season next year. So why would you not, you know, if you're going to get drafted, you know, maybe not, you're not going to get a first round grade or, you know, you might be late second, but if you're going to get drafted, why would you not chase that money and, you know, make sure take a more safe and secure option, take an NBA route when you don't even know if there's going to be a college season next year. So
I think that it'll be, it's certainly an interesting situation for what's all going on right now. I just hope that there is college basketball for next season. Everyone that we've talked to has said that there will be. Chris Jenkins, Jay Billis, Kyle Boone, Tyler Pauley, like all these guys. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode of CBB 365. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you for joining us.